Thank you so much, Tiffany, for that message and song tonight. If you have your Bibles, open to Exodus chapter 1. You know, as I see Tiffany up here and singing, and I see Christina playing the piano, I am very grateful that we have the school staff that we do. I'm very thankful for Temple Baptist School, and very thankful for the piano teachers and the music teachers and everyone who puts so much into allowing our school to be a success. And I'm so thankful for our teachers tonight. And I know as we come to the end of a school year, you know, there's been a lot of changes. And I'm just very grateful for all the efforts that our staff has put in as far as on the education side of it. And, you know, I was thinking, Christina is my daughter's piano teacher. And I was thinking as before Michaela was playing the piano, I thought of something funny as I was sitting up here. I remember when she was not touching a keyboard, she touched a pair of scissors. And she was about 3 years old. And she grabbed a pair of scissors and she decided to give herself a haircut. And, you know, if I tried, I don't have any hair to cut, but I'll never forget Michaela and Micah found a pair of scissors. And Micah went down to a place where we had a basketball goal. And he decided to cut all the netting off. And if you can imagine cutting all the netting off and being about 4.5 years old and then seeing your mother walk in on you and the terror that was in his heart and the terror that was in my daughter's heart as she gave herself a friar tuck haircut, you know, that looked really, really stylish for the time. For all 3-year-olds had that haircut, I'm sure. But I think of all the things that a mother can laugh at, but a father doesn't typically laugh at as much. You know, a mother has that special ability. You know, you've heard many times pastor talking about me mowing the lawn. And, you know, second, third grade, you're just trying to help out, right? You know, you're just trying to do your job in this world. And, you know, I think everyone understands that. But, you know, pastor's giving it to me right now. You know, pastor did not understand that, you know, hey, a kid, but my mom, hey, my mom was okay with it. You know, aren't moms just like that? And I'm just so thankful for mothers today on this special day, and I hope your family has spoiled you appropriately. I read this story. There are toddlers who color with permanent marker all over the wall or decide that a sibling needs a haircut. Then there is Leo Belknap, a 2-year-old who knows how to work a paper shredder. On one Sunday, his parents, Ben and Jackie Belknap, noticed an important envelope containing $1,060 was mysteriously missing. For the past year, the diehard University of Utah football fans had been saving money to pay back Ben's parents for season tickets. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. I just know what's coming, and it's just funny to me. The mother had told little Leo and shown him how to use the paper shredder. They started tearing through the house apart, searching for the cash, and Ben yelled, "I'm digging through the trash," and Jackie hollered, "I found it." Of course, it was in the paper shredder, in 1,000 tiny little pieces. Immediately, they knew Leo was the culprit. He had been helping his mom shred junk mail and documents and thought he was doing his part in the family. Apparently, he thought he was being helpful this time, too. First, his mother cried, then she laughed. She said, "As devastated and as sick as we were, this was one of those moments where you just had to laugh." "Pastor, would you laugh if I shredded $1,060? No, pastor says no. That's what moms are for. Hope may not be lost, however, for the couple. And I want you to catch this. The Bureau of Engraving and Printing offers a solution. In fact, the Bureau has an entire mutilated currency division, which is devoted to redeeming burned, rodent-chewed, or deteriorated money, a free service to the public. It handles approximately 30,000 claims per year, redeeming more than $30 million in mutilated cash. Ben Belknap contacted the Treasury Department and was told to send the remains of the money to Washington in Ziploc baggies. In the meantime, Leo will not be using the shredder anymore. You know, you look at situations that we find ourselves in. And now, you know, now they can look back, and the mother even said, "Well, this will one day make a great wedding day story." Can you imagine having that said at your wedding? But, you know, in all seriousness, there's a chapter in Scripture, in Exodus chapter 2, that was a very serious moment in Israel's history. If you can imagine, for 400 years serving in slavery and having many things being stacked against you, and the Bible says in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 22, And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive." And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And we'll finish reading that in just a moment. But I want you to notice tonight a mother's mission of faith. I want you to look at the life of Jochebed with me tonight and think about the faith it took to live in such a debilitating time as a mother. You know, it is rough in this COVID-19 of things going on, and there's many challenges mothers face today, but I cannot imagine being in this day, and I've been to this Nile, I was at this Nile River less than a month ago, or a month and a half ago. I cannot imagine going through, seeing a government making everyone throw all the male babies into a river to certain death. But I'd like you to look at the way God worked through a mother in three specific ways tonight. I'd like to look at, number one, a mother's protection in Exodus 2:1, and then we're going to look at Hebrews 11:23. We're going to look at a mother's protection, a mother's plan, and then a mother's payment. So a mother's protection in Exodus 2, a mother's plan, how she used that ark of bulrushes in Exodus 2, 3, 4, and 5. Then we're going to look at what was a mother's payment, as it says she was paid something for her work in Exodus 2:9, and then we're going to parallel that with 3 John chapter 1 and verse 4. Let's continue reading it. The Bible says in verse 4, "And his sister stood afar off, to wit, what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw that the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him, and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, 'Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages.' And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" You know, of all the times in history to live, perhaps this day was one of the toughest for a young mother. To see your first child be born into the world, Aaron, and then see your second child, Miriam, born, and then see your third child, who you're excited about, Moses, is coming along, and all of a sudden you're faced with the tragic possibility of throwing him into the river. Mothers face many unusual situations in life, and no matter what decisions we or our children make, you know, as I think of that story of that sending that money off to that bureau and getting all your money back, you know, God can remake any family tonight. God can help any mother be a great mother in the eyes of heaven. God can help in situations where there are no children. In Uganda, we've had many situations where the greatest mothers were not actually the physical mothers. They were missionary women who came in. Sometimes they were Christians who got saved and couldn't have children on their own, and they raised orphans from just a small, small age. You know, Mother's Day is for all of you today, and I want to thank you for the protection that you provide, just like Jochebed did. I want you to see, number one, a mother's protection. Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And I just want to say thank you for your protection. Look here in this passage. "And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." What's the background of this passage? Well, we know the Jews had been in Egypt for nearly 400 years. And Joseph, the son of Jacob, had become the prime minister and brought his family down to Egypt during a 7-year famine. And Jacob's family multiplied from a clan of 70, if you remember, all the way to 2 million, a nation of 2 million, which we have now. And you know, I'm reminded every child is a gift from God. And yet God wanted Jochebed to live a purposeful life as a mother. And I see a mother protects through, number one, her great love. And tonight, if you just look at that in this passage to me, what a great testimony of a mother protecting through her great love. And a mother's love, Jochebed hid Moses 3 months. She could not kill him and throw him in the Nile. You know, we have a statistic in America called throwaway babies. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the child that was thrown out of the car on Pennsylvania Turnpike. There's been many cases, even in the last year and a half, of children who were discarded, put in different places and thought somebody will find them and help them. You know, Jochebed had to make some tough decisions when it came to her child. But you know what kept her doing right was her love, number one, for her God. And I want you to see three things: her love for God, her love for her husband, and her love for her son. As we look at her love for God, Jochebed put God first in her life. No matter what the world was doing, no matter how many people were throwing their babies in the river and watching the horror that would come, I want you to see Jochebed had to make a tough decision to say, hey, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Jochebed hid Moses 3 months. She could not kill him and throw him in the Nile. But I've thought about what a horrific decree to be made by Pharaoh. And I think of John 10:10. You know, Satan is just as much after our children today as he was in the day in Exodus. You realize John 10:10 tonight says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. The Son of God has warned us that Satan is out to steal and to kill our children. Now, he might not be able to kill them physically, but you know what he can certainly do is steal their hearts away from serving an almighty God tonight. How we have to be aware to have that mother's protection to say, oh, no, 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 no. Whatever it takes, no matter how much my heart breaks in other areas, I must protect the children God has given me. And I'm thankful for mother's protections tonight. We see her love for God. We see her love for her husband. Certainly, Jochebed had her husband's full support. I believe they loved each other, and the greatest gift parents can give their children is a godly love one for the other. And I think it's important our children see our love one for each other. I think she had a great love for her son. Jochebed hid Moses for those 3 months, and there's just a special love that God has given to mothers with their newborns. I think dads certainly love their newborns, but if you never notice at the hospital, I think this is interesting when I go visit folks, a mother can look at a baby's face and know, that's mine. A father always looks at the name tag. He's like, oh, mine's that one. You know, a mother's been carrying that baby for 9 months. And I think a mother just has a special way in most cases just to know, that is my child. Oh, what love a mother has. I want you to see a mother protects through her great love. But a mother protects because she has a love for God, a love for her husband, a love for her son. Do you remember what separated the two love, the two women, the two harlots that came before Solomon? Remember King Solomon comes in and the women, the two harlots come in and say, this is my baby. And of course, there was only one baby still alive. And what did he do? Do you remember that Solomon commanded to divide the infant in two and give each half to the mother? And one woman said, yes, cut the child in two. And the other cried with a great horror and said, no, give her the child. In no way kill my baby. And what did Solomon say? Give the child to this woman, for she is what? The true mother. He could tell by the love she had. And I'm thankful. I spent some time this week at my mother's graveside and just kind of talking through some things in my mind. Because what an awesome privilege it is to have a mother that's there for your protection. And tonight you might be here and you might not have picked up that phone yet. You might not have called your mom. I'd encourage you. Today is a sad day in my heart because one of our very first orphans, I won't mention his name in case people are listening, but he had a terrible disease. And I remember in 2004, him coming over to my house. I remember taking him to the doctor many, many times. And I've talked to you about him before. I'd take him to get, he'd have to go get a spinal tap. And I would take him there and I would take it. He'd never had a Coca-Cola before. He's 9 years old, give him a Coke. And he would sit there and he would just sit there and he would love to drink. And the first time he ever had fizz, he'd never had fizz before. And it would go up in his nose and he would just try to shake his head. And he'd eat a candy bar with me. And we had to go to the doctor many times. Well, today that young man went to heaven and he passed away. And it makes me think, as much as I loved him, I was not his father. His mother died when he was an infant. He never got to experience a mother's love. But you know what? Today he gets to experience a father's love, an everlasting father, because he trusted Christ as his Savior. And you know, tonight, the greatest decision you can ever see in your children's life is the fact that they trust Christ. Now, to me, it was interesting today. I thought, you know, my mom loved him. My mom would always spend some extra time. He would come over to the house sometimes, and she would spend extra time with this young man. And my heart goes back because I think, you know, his last day on earth and his first day in heaven was seeing my mother in heaven. And just a special day today, but I would ask you to pray for the funeral tomorrow for many of, and right now they have COVID-19 restrictions, so many people can't travel to the burial. But you know, he is experiencing the protecting love of an everlasting Father today. Let me ask you today, have you thanked your mom for the protection she's provided for you? I see the protection of a mother, but then I see a mother's plan. A mother's plan. Exodus 2, 3, and 4. And you look at this and you say, wow, this mother was fairly creative. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. You know, this is a mother's ingenuity. I can see if it was my dad, this is just how I think. I think he would take a sawzall and he would have been building a boat. He would have been building it perfectly for specifications. And it would have looked like the nicest boat you've ever seen. I think it would have been, you know, perfect. But you know, I think that would have been spotted. I think God gives mothers special, special wisdom. And when you're walking with the Lord, I think Jochebed had the wisdom to know, you know what, no, we need to make this ornate. We need to make this kind of like just something where no one's going to notice it. And I want you to notice a few things about this. She had to have great faith that God had a plan and a purpose for whatever happened to Moses. And you know, tonight, God has a plan and God has a purpose for each one of your children. But as God has a plan and God has a purpose, God has a plan and purpose for us to teach our children. I want you to see letter A, faith that God had a plan and a purpose for whatever had happened to Moses. And letter B, what was her plan of a mother's faith? Well, we see that in Hebrews 11, 23. And we see very quickly that in Hebrews 11, 23, you see she's in the hall of faith. You see the parents are there in the hall of faith. And her faith in God was evident. You know, it's amazing to me that we must equip our children for spiritual warfare. We must equip our children to be ready for the enemy to attack. Why would we do any less? You know, as we look at this and she's protecting them physically, you know, we must protect our children spiritually. I want you to see three things. A growing baby could not be hid easily, so he was provided with an ark or a basket to preserve his life. I want you to see the planning of the ark. What were the things that she had to do to plan for this ark? And I want you to see three things. The plan for the ark, the placement of the ark, and the protector of the ark. I think it's interesting, this plan for the ark. Look in verse 3. When she could no longer hide him, she took this ark of bulrushes. She built an ark and put him in it, and we notice she put the ark bearing her precious cargo, that little baby, in a marshy area where he would not float away. You know, she had to be smart about it. She didn't want it to go so far out, but she wanted to sit up where the Bible says flags. Out there where the reeds were, where it was a little bit marshy, and it wasn't going to just be floating down or it was going to get too far away from her. She had to have the right kind of plan. It was a clever plan in that it put the baby in the river as God commanded, or as Pharaoh commanded, but it did not drown the baby. It was a competent plan, and the fact that the ark basket was made of good material. At this day, and you can actually find this in books as I was researching this, it was interesting to me that some boats were made out of these kinds of bulrushes. Now, the pitch made it waterproof. Also, it was a carrying plan in that the ark had to have a cover to keep the bugs and sun out of baby Moses' face. You know, as she had a physical plan to protect her children, you and I must have a physical plan to protect our children from the wiles of the devil. And if we're not careful, Satan will manipulate us and will try to get us to focus on a lot of other things outside of our home when the most important thing we could have tonight is to protect our children from Satan. I talk to my children weekly about what they get to on the internet. We just have a weekly conversation about it. Hey, look, and there's some specific questions we go through. I want you to understand tonight, it's important for me to protect as a father, but you should see all the conversations that my wife has with my children that I don't even know about sometimes. She goes, hey, I talked to him about this, I talked to him about that. I'm like, oh. And I will give a shout out to my wife tonight. I am so grateful for her and her godly example. I can remember when Mom and I were praying, and I remember dating in college, and my mom and I would talk, and when she met Mandy, she looked at her, and after we had talked a little bit, she goes, she's the one. And it's always good to have that mother's assurance that she's the one. You know, don't let her get away. I see the plan for the ark, but I see the placement of the ark. She laid it in flags by the river's brink. This word flags means reeds. And the placement of the ark had two important purposes. First, to provide an anchor for the ark so it wouldn't float further down. But second, to provide attention for the ark. You know, thirdly, the protector of the ark. If you thought about this, her sister stood afar off. To wit, what the Bible says in verse 4, what would be done to him? And this was so vital to the success. You know, it took someone like Jochebed to have, number one, a boy named Aaron, and then a girl named Miriam, and say, Miriam, now listen, I'm going to give you a command. I'm going to give you some instructions. Have you ever given your kids instructions before? Does it always go perfect when you give them instructions? I kind of wonder what happened to Jochebed. It tells me this. It's important that our children obey our voice. It's important that they obey the first time. It's important that they obey right away. And so as you look at Jochebed, I think she asked Miriam, now Miriam, look, you can't make a mistake with this. But what if Miriam would have just been like so many children and just said, well, you know what, I'm just going to go do something. Oh, I see something over the other side of that hill. What could have happened to Moses at that time? I want you to understand tonight, it's important that each one of us, when we're training our children, we see the importance of giving them instructions and making them obey right away. You know when that happens? That starts at when they're before they're 1 year old. Did you know that? It starts when they're a baby. And when they're two, when they're three. If you can ever get to the point where you can guide your children, as the Bible says, with your eye, as the book of Psalms says, you know, you've gotten a lot of work done. Because too many times you have to correct your children with your voice. But have you ever gotten the look from your mom or your dad and how they could just guide you with your eyes? I believe that's what Psalms is talking about. You see, I think Jochebed had already had some good parental training on this older sister, Miriam. As she was stationed far enough away to watch. I've gone swimming in this part of the Nile River, and I've also rafted in parts that were further up the Nile River. And I'm just telling you, it would have been something that every parent in this room and at home tonight, you would have been worrying about your child. You would have just looked at it, and there would have been a sense of worry. But this was a mother who, I don't believe, worried. She was a woman who just said, God, I am trusting you with the most special cargo of my life. PhD researcher Lucas Frenaire, in his study on worry, and let me just ask you this. Sometimes we worry about our children. We can worry about a lot of things in this time. But God says, I've got this. Will you trust me? In his study on worry, participants were asked to record their worries and how they caused distress and interfered with their lives. Each night at 10 p.m., they reported how much time they spent thinking on each specific worry throughout the day. Then 20 days after that period, they reviewed each entry and reported whether any of the worries they had become true. The good news is, LeFrenaire's study found that in his survey of worrisome people, 91.4% of their worries never actually even happened. Worrying caused only more misery and did nothing to help the worriers handle whatever they had been worrying about. This is mainly because the hotly anticipated events never, in fact, transpired. Do you remember what Jesus said? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I don't know if you're worrying about something tonight, but I can tell you this. God says, don't worry. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And what does he say? The peace of God will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Tonight, do you have the faith that God's just going to handle it? God's going to protect. Don't worry. I see the plan worked. Why? Because she had faith that God had a plan and a purpose for whatever happened to Moses. Hebrews 11:23 says this, and this is in the Hall of Faith. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Maybe you're afraid tonight. Not of the king's commandment, but of something, what if, can happen to my child. Let me just say this. Trust God. Even in the midst of difficult circumstances, just trust God. We see her faith was in her daughter to train Miriam, but also it was in her God. Perhaps the most important occupation on earth is to be a real mother to a child. It does not have much glory to it. However, there is no greater place of ministry, position, or power than that of a mother. If you reduce parenting down to the basic foundational truths, you can come to this. Teach your children to honor and obey you and all God-ordained authority. Teach them respect. Teach them obedience. Teach them character. Teach them a good, godly attitude. Teach them a holy lifestyle. Teach compassion for the lost. You know, I think Jochebed did this to her children, and you can see the result in their lives. You know, a homily is called a sermon, but how many of you have ever heard of a momily? A momily is a mother-made sermon. Any of you ever gotten any momilies? I got plenty of those as a kid. Perhaps it was when my dad, I can remember several things I did, and my dad would say, Jeremy, and my mother would come along and say, now, Jeremy, do you understand what happened? And I'm like, you know, yes. I'm like 18. Yes. No, I wasn't 18. But, you know, I think of all the times my mother helped not only protect, but then made a plan to say, listen, do you understand why? Do you understand this is what? And it took that guiding hand of a mother. Mothers truly mold the world every day. I thought this morning of a mother's plan in Eunice. Now, as I was studying the life of Eunice and this pastor referenced it this morning, I would like to just touch really briefly on this because parents, we're in charge of discipling our children. We're the ones who are going to stand before God about what our parents, about what we inculcate to our children. You remember the verse we read this morning, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also, Timothy, he said, you know, I think it's here. You know, I'm reminded of 2 Timothy 3. Remember what society Timothy was growing up in? How many of you tonight, your parents, and you say, well, this is just a terrible society. There's just terrible things going on that weren't going on when I was a kid. Well, do you remember when Timothy was a child? Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And then the very next verse, Paul looks at Timothy and says, but continue thou. He says, listen, continue thou in the things which thou hast. And I believe this is three steps to discipling a new convert, to discipling your children. Notice what he says. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know what Paul was saying in 2 Timothy 3, 14 and 15? He was saying, Paul, you know all this good things that you've been receiving in your life? Yes, you were my son in the gospel, but he said, Timothy, you're going to be a world changer. But you know why? It's because you had a godly influence of Lois. You had the godly influence of Eunice, and they inculcated some things in your life, and you might not realize it right now, but I would say, mothers, keep passing those things along to your children. You look in this passage, and if I asked you, what is a disciple? It's someone who gets saved and is baptized and is growing in the Lord. Well, in these two verses, there are three steps in discipling your children. Notice what he says, things that are known. It means to let them hear it. They need to hear the word of God. They need to hear instruction. They need to hear that you love them, but they need to hear that God loves them. I see three things. The things they have known, let them hear. Let them hear it from your lips. Number two, the things that they have learned. Let them see it. Let them visualize it. Some of the best conversations to have are outside, laying down on the pavement, looking up at the stars at night, and just talking about the great things that God has done for our family. You know, you need to have those conversations with your children. You need to have them. And someone wrote a book, Brother Rice wrote a book, Love Them, Lick Them, and Learn Them. And that's an odd title, but it's a good book. You know, there's times when each one of our children need to have that love, they need to have that discipline, they need to have that instruction to follow in the ways of the Lord. Those things that were known, those things that were learned, and then notice thirdly, the things that you've been assured of, what they now have been convinced of. You see, the reason many children don't have convictions is because they weren't convinced of it in the home. And if you can give your children proper instruction, you can convince them of it when they're young. Do you realize they're not going to lose it when they're old? Because they've been convinced. They have been, the Bible says here, those things that have been assured of. That is, I believe he said to Timothy, you have begun to feel that you've been assured of or you've been convinced of, not only from your mother Lois, but also from your grandmother Eunice, but also from Lois. You see, discipleship takes four things. It takes time. You notice here, it takes three generations. You know, now it has to start with the first generation. But I notice discipleship takes time. Number two, discipleship is possible in a bad home situation. How many times is it that a single mother is faced with a very difficult struggle of raising her child? Parents were, one is saved and one is not. But Acts 16:1 tells us that Timothy is the son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. So Timothy was born and probably grew up in an unequally yoked home. His mother was a believer, but perhaps his dad was not. You know, you can disciple your children and have great children even when there's only one that's in support. I've often thought of my grandmother, and I've thought of my father and some of the things that my father learned just because he had a godly mother. How much more when you have a godly mother and a godly father should it be that you have offspring that want to serve God with all their heart? I think of the Schrolls that are missionaries in South America. Eric's dad was unsaved, but his mom took him to church every service. The dad was unsaved, never showed interest, never, in fact, sometimes even did some other things, was not on board with the boys. And the mother had a determination. My children are going to do right. Let's try to get them to a Christian college. Let's let them go through a good Christian school. Let's let them do the right things. And let me just spend as much time as I can that God gives me with my children. You know, Brian Schroll is a Christian lawyer today. And if you ask him what made the difference in their lives, it was because somebody decided to bring them to church faithfully. You might be here today and you might say, I don't have any children, but I'm bringing children on Sunday. I'm bringing people to try to see children discipled. You know, I want to say thank you on this Mother's Day for having a heart for many times children who would never be able to come to church, except for I know people in our church that bring children on Sundays that would never get to come with their own parents, but because other people show concern, those children get to hear the gospel. Lastly, let me finish this. Number three, discipleship is a combined effort of many people. I didn't finish the story, but Brian Schroll is a Christian lawyer, and his brother is a missionary in South America. They're seeing people saved, discipled, and baptized because a mother decided to put in the work to see her boys do right. That encourages me to encourage you. Satan can hammer pretty hard on single parents, especially at times like this when you could say our family is not together. He can hammer away, but the good news is Timothy had a parent who was lost. If God could help the mother and grandmother pour their life into their son and grandson, God can help you too. Discipleship is a combined effort of many people. Paul discipled Timothy. Lois and Eunice discipled Timothy. Paul was the spiritual father of Timothy. Let me ask you this. Are you determined to be a Paul? To say, maybe I don't have any familial association with these people, but I am going to be a godly example to someone in the church. That's what discipleship takes. It takes everyone. You see, discipleship is not only a combined effort of many people, but discipleship is a blessing to everyone. Timothy blessed the world. You think of other people, Samuel. His mother gave him to the temple, and yet you see Samuel was a blessing to the world. We've seen a mother's protection. We've seen a mother's plan. Let's close with what is a mother's payment? What payment can you receive? Look in verse 9. We see a physical payment in Exodus 2:9. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. Jochebed received Egyptian money for her labors. The Egyptians actually paid Jochebed for being a nurse to her little baby Moses. You know, I came across this in Forbes magazine. They said this, do you think you can put a price on motherhood? A yearly survey by salary.com called the Annual Mom Salary Survey attempts to put a salary on the work of American mothers. First, they broke down motherly duties into the following 10 categories. Now, I know, mothers, you will have more categories than this, but this is all they had time for. Daycare center operator or teacher, CEO, psychologist, cook, housekeeper, laundry machine operator, computer operator, facilities manager, janitor, and van driver. Then they studied how many hours moms work in those categories and what the family would have to pay to outsource that particular duty. I'm not suggesting anyone do this. Don't outsource these duties, but just be thankful for your wife and be thankful for your mother today, because it's going to save you a lot of money when I read this to you, okay? The average, according to this survey, they determine the following. The average stay-at-home mom should make an annual salary of $112,962 based on a 40-hour per week base pay plus 54.7 hours a week in overtime. And that overtime is not, that is true, okay? The average working mom should make an annual salary just for her mom role of $66,969 based on a 40 hours of mothering duties and 17.9 overtime hours per week. The article concludes with this statement. The breadth of mom's responsibilities is beyond what most workers could ever experience day to day. Imagine if you had to attract and retain a candidate to fill this role. You know, today, it's just a great blessing that you can look at your wife and say thank you. You can look at your mother and say thank you. And you can every day be grateful for the things that mother provides. Letter B, Jochebed's greater reward was this. It wasn't in any physical payment from her wages, but the greater reward was that Moses' life was spent in service to Almighty God. And you understand, the greatest treasure we will have is when our children decide to serve God. No matter what walk of life, it's to have a purpose and a plan for their life to say, God's going to protect me. God, would you help me to fulfill your plan for my life? Jochebed's greatest reward was that Moses' life was spent in service to God. You remember Moses, the lawgiver? Moses, the deliverer? Moses, the servant of God? And Moses, the man of God? Some consider him to be the greatest person of the Old Testament. But he was great. Why? Because he had a great mother. Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." You could say, "Mom, moms today could say, what are my wages?" Well, I want you to notice three things. First, mothers can have the joy of influencing, number one, the next generation. Mothers can have the joy of influencing the next generation. Can you imagine if Moses had never come on the scene? What tragic circumstances would the children of Israel have been without a leader like Moses? Now, God certainly had to work with Moses and do things with Moses. But God had a purpose for Moses. And let me just remind you tonight, God has a purpose for each one of our children. And you might look at your child tonight, and as I look at my children, and I love them, and I look at all the things that I think God could do through them. Never shortchange what God could do through your child. You look at Moses, and you remember Moses got to one point where he said, "I stutter, I do this, I do that." And you know, God looked at it and said, "You have such potential." And tonight, our children have great potential. Many times, we look, and when all is said and done, it is the mother, and the mother only, who is a better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. The mother who does her part in rearing and training the boys and girls who are able to be the men and women of the next generation. It's of greater use to the community, and if mothers would realize this, it's more honorable and more important position than any man in it. And as I look and I see the importance of motherhood, and I see the importance of mothers who just commit to say, "God, I'm going to pour my life into these children," you see the mother is the one supreme asset of our national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist. If you have a child that can walk with God, he can literally move mountains by the help of God. Motherhood, is it all heartaches and headaches? No, it is a labor of love. Thousands of golden hours invested in the most precious commodity on the face of the earth. More valuable and precious than silver, gold, or real estate. Children are an inheritance of the Lord. The joy, what are other things that a mother has? Mothers have the joy of influencing the next generation, but they also have the joy of that special place your child will always have in your heart. And I can speak from this personal experience. My mom was sometimes, you know, pastor can do things fairly quickly at times. He can move fairly quick of pace. And my mom would sometimes call me aside, and I would think, "Oh, am I in trouble? What? Dad's just kind of moving left and right. I don't know what to do." And mom would just kind of call me over. She said, "Shh, it's okay, it's okay." And she would explain to me what he was doing, number one. You know, he's mowing the lawn at mock speed, you know. She would just explain to me kind of what's going on. And she said, "It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay." And you know what I needed was a godly mother to just call me alongside and explain different things, perhaps that I didn't understand. You know, she'll always have that place in my heart. Moms, what are your wages? I saw this little poem. I thought it was cute because I can remember no flowers in Uganda. See, Ugandans don't celebrate Mother's Day. I remember that one of the first Mother's Day, I made a message and I was going to preach it. And then I found out nobody knew what Mother's Day was. And more than that, there were hardly any mothers in the service because we had an insurgency and many people had been killed. And it was really one of those tragic circumstances. But I remember telling my children to go out and get flowers for Mom. And Sarodi is a very dry place. There's not flowers. And I thought of this when I saw my kids. A rose can say, "I love you." Orchids can enthrall. But a weed bouquet and a chubby fist, oh my, that says it all. You ever remember that with your children, just grabbing weeds and coming up and giving it to the mom? You know, today, the greatest thing you can give your mom isn't a weeded bouquet, isn't a dozen roses. It's giving your life and your heart to Jesus Christ. It's giving your heart to your mom and saying, hey, mom, I'm going to live this life, the only one I've been given, to honor you with it, but to more importantly, honor my Father which is in heaven. You might say, we don't have much in our home. Abraham Lincoln said this, no man is poor who has a godly mother. What is another great joy of a mother? Well, I think the greatest joy that a mother would have is seeing your children walk in God's truth. You remember 3 John chapter 1 and verse 4? I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, a godly mother's wages are that of joy. The joy of influencing the world, the joy of influencing the next generation, the joy of that special place that a child has in your heart, and the joy of seeing your children walk in truth. You see, the story has been told in the late 20th century of a young mother who was making her way across the hills of South Wales, carrying her tiny baby in her arms, when she was overtaken by a blinding blizzard. She never reached her destination, and when the blizzard had subsided, her body was found by searchers beneath a mound of snow. However, they discovered that before her death, she had taken off her outer coat and much of her clothing and wrapped it around her baby. When they unwrapped the child, to their great surprise and joy, they found he was alive and well. She had mounted her body, you see, over his and given her life for her child, proving the depths of her motherly love. Years later, that child, David Lloyd George, had grown to manhood. He became the Prime Minister of Great Britain and, without a doubt, one of England's greatest statesmen. You know, all of our children tonight can become great statesmen for the God of heaven. You read some of the writings of David Lloyd George, and you would look at it and you would say, wow, what a man who understood his time and provided clarity to a people in great need. You understand your children one day can rise up and not only call you blessed, but they can rise up and provide clarity for a world of chaos all around them. Thank you, mothers, for being ones who provide protection, who provide a plan for children to follow. And I trust your payment today won't just be realized today, but it will be realized in heaven. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your goodness to us tonight. And Lord, tonight I pray that you would take this message of Exodus chapter 2, and Lord, that you would help us to see, Lord, how Jochebed provided great protection. Lord, she had a plan to see her child do right. And Father, I want us to notice tonight, Lord, the payment might not be today, but Lord, one day in heaven, you'll make all things new, and Lord, you'll make all things right. And Lord, today there might be a mother who's quite discouraged, going through some difficulties and trials. Lord, I hope she would realize today, Lord, through your word, that the payment, Lord, is not necessarily always here on this earth, but one day in heaven, it will be made right. Lord, I pray that you'd give us a determination to see our children walk in truth. Lord, if our children know one thing from us, Lord, may it be how to walk with God and serve Him with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their mind. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen.